reflect Jesus. Today, I hope that you're saved. If you're not saved, you can be before you leave here. And we're not talking about church membership, but we're talking about salvation. Do you reflect Jesus Christ? You know, that's what we all should do if we are saved. We should reflect. But do you reflect Jesus Christ? You're saved here today? Do you really reflect Jesus Christ? Before I read our scriptures in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, I'd also like to read you a verse of scripture, 1 John 3 and 2. Beloved, now, he's talking to the saved. And you know, on Wednesday night, we are going through the book of 1 John. I hope that you'll be here with us. We had 75, I think, last Wednesday night, 80 before, but maybe we can get it up to 100. But now we are the sons of God. Not will be one day. If you're saved, it's now. Now. We are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. It says, but we know that when he, Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that's talking about the rapture, when he appears in the clouds of glory and we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We shall see him. We're going to talk about a mirror and reflection today, but one of these days you won't be a mirror, you won't have that reflection, but you will see the glory face to face, and that is Jesus Christ. So the question I'm asking you this morning, do you reflect Jesus Christ? Not your wife, not your husband, not the person next to you on the pew, but you. Do you reflect Jesus Christ? I know that some of you young characters in here do not remember when we had old cameras. And the old cameras, you had to click a picture and send them off somewhere to be developed. And they had what they call a negative. Now, y'all don't know what that's all about because you got all these new cameras to click and there it is, a picture you look at. But you had to send it off and have it developed, and you always get the negative. Without the negative, you didn't have a picture. So you had to have the negative to have the picture. Well, here today, there are many, many purposes that God's got for you because you're still living on this earth. If he didn't have no more purpose and he was through with you, do you know you wouldn't be sitting here today if you were saved? You'd already be in heaven. But he's got a purpose for your life and for my life. He's called us. Now, he's called us in this life, and we walk through this life from time that you are saved. And he has many, many probably smaller purposes for us in a life. What your vocation is, you know, who you marry, and just a lot of small purposes as we walk through this life. But there's one overriding master purpose of God for you and for me, and predestined us for this very, very purpose that he's predestined us for, and that is for the glory of Jesus Christ, for the glory of God. That is the greatest purpose. That is his great purpose for you, for me, for every one of us, the glory of God. In this 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, it says, but we all with open faces. That with open faces mean we do not have a veil and a covering over our face. With an unveiled face, beholding in a glass, that is the word mirror. As we have our face opened, as we look into a mirror, we, without this veil, looking into this mirror, beholding as a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed unto the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for this great, great privilege today. And for us maybe to understand this great purpose that you have in our life. And everything that you do in our life is to bring the glory to you, Jesus. Father, we just want to thank you, but not just in our life, but in this world, in this universe, and everything that you do to bring glory to your name. Because you are glory. And we want to thank you and praise you in the name of our Lord and Savior, the glory of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. Father, how we pray this day that the presence of God would fill this place. And Father, there's a person here today who has never accepted you. Lord, we pray today that you might open up that heart of understanding, that know without you, Jesus Christ, they are lost and they are damned and they are doomed without a Savior. Father, to a place that's called hell that you made for the devil and his angels. Father, we just pray, O God, and others may pray this day. Father, for the far saints of this service today, that your name might be glorified one more time, for someone, Lord, might come for salvation to be saved. Lord, we thank you. We ask you now, Lord, for each and every one of our lives today, that we might gaze into this mirror and see what this mirror of our life is all about. And do we really reflect Jesus Christ as we're supposed to in this world that we're living in this day? And we thank you and we praise you this day in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. The master purpose in your life. Think back from the time that you were saved and to the time that you leave this earth, that God has been working on you for this one master purpose, and that is for you to be glorified, for him to be glorified. Romans 8 and 29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren." You see that word predestined? A lot of time people don't understand what that is. Some people say that God says some is predestined to hell and some is predestined to heaven. A lot of our congregation, I know not far from here, they believe this, that God has predestined some to hell and some to heaven. But that is absolutely not the truth. Whosoever will takes care of that theology. If you want to be saved, that you can be saved. When you see predestination in the Word of God, it is always and never to the lost, but always to the saved. Mark it down all through your Bible, predestination. God said, "I have predestined those to be the image of Jesus Christ." He has predestined you, the power of the living God that's created this universe, created everything that you and I know of in this world today, has created you, has predestined you by salvation in Jesus Christ to be the image of his Son and the glory of God in your life forever and forever. Predestine us. The test now of my ministry, the test of my preaching, the test of the ministry that went over and packed food for the people for all around the world, as Lucille just bragged on, everyone for helping and those that could, for every ministry that we have, for every ministry that we have at this church, and the ultimate purpose of this and the test of it is, does it bring more people to Jesus Christ? Does it make more people like Jesus Christ? And that is the test of my ministry. That's the test of every ministry of the church and your ministry today. Does it bring more people to be like Jesus Christ? Are you growing? Are you understanding the Word of God? Are you being more like Jesus Christ? Ephesians 4 and 11 tells us, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastor teachers for the edifying of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all in all the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of his Son Jesus, unto the perfected man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." He's working on you. I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, God is working on you to bring the glory that you should be here this day like Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this great, great passage of Scripture. The master purpose of the day. Do you and are you reflecting Jesus Christ in your life? Well, what is the character of Jesus Christ if I must reflect Jesus Christ? What is the character? What is Jesus Christ really like? In that verse 18, as I read, "But we all with open face behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord." That's his character. He is the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. The character of Jesus Christ is glory. And everything that God does is tied up in his glory. This universe, God spoke it in resistance because of his glory. He done this for his glory. He made this world that you and I are living in for his glory. He threw the stars in the sky for his glory. He called you into salvation for his glory. Everything that God does is for the glory of God, and he will get the glory at the end regardless of everything. Now think about this glory. Psalm 19 and 1 says, "The heaven declares the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiworks." Look outside at the stars, and you see that God done this for his glory. Psalm 104 and 31 says, "The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his work." It says in Matthew 6 and 28, and they take ye through the remnants. Why you take ye through the remnants there? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and they toil, neither do they spin. The beautiful flowers that we see, even though these may be artificial, look at the beautiful flowers. Everything in this world, everything that you can think of, God done it all for His glory. Now we find in Exodus chapter 14 and 4, as you think about old Pharaoh and you think about the things that we may not understand, but even through Pharaoh, God says, I'll get my glory. In Exodus chapter 14 and 4, it says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. That's whenever the children of Israel was going through the Red Sea, when God parted the Red Sea. And I will be honored. That word honored is glorified upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. They knew that day that God was the glory that He said He was. All the nation knew that. Israel knew that. When they saw the glory of God working in their behalf, He says, I will be glorified. And God was glorified through old Pharaoh, even though he hardened his heart today. I can tell you one thing that I do believe, and I believe that we are living in the last days of the United States that we know of America today. Whether you believe it or not, I'm going to tell you the signs are here. I'm going to tell you there a day is approaching, and I believe it's already here. And I believe that we are living in the last days. And I'll tell you, no matter what happens in our country, no matter what happens in this world, and it's falling faster than I ever thought it could fall, but I can tell you one thing, no matter what will happen, God will get the glory. They get the glory in our country. It's going to happen, and I won't go into this message, but I got a message for you about this last days of the United States, and I believe that we're living in it today. He says, you know, that He's going to get the glory. And we know that the leaders of our country, in Isaiah chapter 48 and 11 says, for my own sake, even my own sake, will I do it. For how shall my people be polluted? He says, and I will not give my glory unto another. No matter what the people thinks of this thing called a president today, they call him the anointed one because he thinks he's God himself. But God says, I will not give my glory to any other. I will not do that. Jesus Christ is coming, and why He came to this earth to start with was to bring glory to God the Father. He's going to get the glory, even when Jesus comes. In Luke chapter 2 and 14, glory to God in the highest, and peace and goodwill towards men. When Jesus came, it was time of glory, and to give glory to the God. And you know, when Jesus Christ was walking on this earth in His first miracle, in John 2 and 11 says, this is the beginning of the miracle that Jesus of Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. Even the miracles that Jesus Christ done, He done that to glorify the Father, to give God the Father the glory that He had today. John 13 and 31 says, therefore, when He was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him when He would go towards the cross. Everything that happened to Jesus Christ, everything that God planned, I'm going to tell you, He planned for His glory. And it's happening today, and God will get the glory in your life at the end. It says, you know, we don't know what it's going to be like. We don't know how we're going to look today, but one day whenever Jesus comes, God's going to get the glory because you're going to be like Jesus, and Jesus is glory. Glory, glory, glory. God created you for this purpose. Isaiah 43 and 7 says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. That's not me talking this morning. That's the Lord. I have formed him, yeah, and I have made him. He's called you. He's made you. And He says, for my glory. Did you know you was created for the glory of God? You see, you are a new creation if you're saved. If you're lost, you're an old creation. But if you're saved, He's called you. You are a new creation. What is my purpose in life, being I'm a new creation that God's called me? 1 Corinthians 10 and 31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, it's all to the glory of God. Everything in this life and all that comes out for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory is the character of Jesus Christ. John 1 and 14 says, and the Word was made flesh, dwell among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The glory today. the glory today. Isn't it exciting, the day of the glory? John 17 and 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have gave them, talking to you and me, that they may be one even as we are one. All in Jesus Christ, for the glory of the Father, here this day. Oh, how beautiful it is today. 2 Corinthians that I read, 3 and 18, and it says many times, but we with open face today, we with open face, unveiled face, behold, as in a glass, the mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed unto the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, how exciting it is to know that God that saved you is the one that's called you. When it called you, is going to perform in your life, in my life, the glory of Jesus Christ, and it's going to be glory. The glory is the nature of Jesus Christ that lives in you today. Now, there are many definitions of sin today. Did y'all know that? There are many, many definitions of sin. But I want to tell you one. It says in Romans 3 and 23, for we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that verse of Scripture tells us? The sin is a distance between what you and I are from the glory of God. That's what sin is. The distance between you and the glory of Jesus. That's what sin is. Look at yourself, it says. Sin, that distinguishes us from the glory of God. That's the distance that distinguishes us from the glory of God. Sin is that gap. That gap that what I am by nature and what I could and should be by the grace of God. That's sin in my life. What I am by nature. And what I could and what I should be by the grace of God, that sin. That's how far I am from the glory of God today. That's how far you are from the glory of God. It's called sin because sin separates us. Romans 3 and 23. For we all sin and come short of the glory of God. John 17, 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have give them that they may be one, even as I am one. You know what? God has given us the glory inside of you. You're saved today. Everybody know without a shadow of a doubt, if you die this very moment, that you go to a place called heaven face to face with Jesus Christ. You are in Christ Jesus. Do you know that for a fact? If you do that, and you know that, because you should know that, you know what God's done for you? He has put the glory of Jesus Christ in every one of us. Did you know that? You got the glory of Jesus. Every born-again believer has the glory of Jesus. I should be changed then, and I could be changed. I should be changed, but you see, what is this characteristic of Jesus Christ? And then I told you, but then you see, how can I be changed? How can you be changed today as I grapple this with my own life? Well, I tried to be changed, and I failed. Have you ever tried and failed to be like Jesus Christ? You know, whenever before you were saved, you know, when the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God kept convicting you, and you know that you aren't what you ought to be, and you know that you need to be saved. But you want, no devil was on one shoulder and the Lord on the other shoulder, the Spirit of God talking to you, and said, you know what you need to do? You need to go back and you need to quit these things that you're doing because you know you're not like the rest of these people in here. You need to quit those things. How many of us went back and tried and failed? How many of us went back and tried and failed? You see, we have tried and failed. Because why do we try and fail? One thing I try by elimination. I try to quit these things by eliminating, quit doing these things. Now, people get this idea, and if I could quit doing these things, I could be more like Jesus. If I could just quit these things I know ought not to be doing, I could be more like Jesus. No, you won't. Even if you could quit them, you know what you'd be? Just an old Pharisee. You'd just be an old Pharisee. You wouldn't be like Jesus if you could quit. You know, people say, man, if I can quit this and quit that and quit this other and quit this other and quit smoking and quit dipping and quit chewing and quit going with girls that do, you know what old saying is? Well, a fence post don't do that. And no fence post like Jesus. Just because you quit something and elimination don't mean you're going to be like Jesus. I tried elimination and it just didn't work. The problem was, I wasn't able to quit the things I know ought to quit. You can't quit the things that you know you ought to quit. Try to be like Jesus Christ by elimination. And the next thing, I had a list. I had a list of the dirty dozens in my life. To quit this list of this dirty dozen. But you see, I couldn't stop it. And even if you could stop it and you quit doing the dirty list, you'd only be dealing with the fruit and not the root. By elimination, you cannot be like Jesus Christ by elimination. I've tried it. Well, if that won't work, I know I need to be changed, and if that won't work, I need to be like Jesus Christ. I try this imitation. I try to do the things of Jesus Christ. I try this imitation now. I quit trying to keep up this list. I start doing the things I should to the virtue of Jesus Christ should do into my life. I start doing good. I start trying to do good. I'll even start trying to come to church. I try to start giving and helping people. I start doing some good things, by imitating what Jesus Christ would do. But you see, Jesus Christ's character is seamless. It's perfect. In some areas now, by imitation, I can do some good things. And you try doing some good things to be like Jesus Christ. But you see, by trying to do some good things in some pockets, in some area of your life, you're like a magazine, and like the old Reader's Digest always had a little chapter in there, a chapter in there about religion. Well, now you can turn over to that chapter there and read the digest and read about religion. But you see, the other chapters have nothing what to do with it whatsoever. But the Word of God, every chapter is seamless of the glory of God. So when I try to eliminate things, all I become is a magazine with a chapter or two of good and good, but a whole life was not affected by doing good. All I want was just a magazine with just a small chapter. Many people today is trying to live a good life to go to heaven. And those, all the people is trying to do that. All they have is just a magazine, just a chapter or two in that magazine of life. They're trying to do good. But you see, Jesus Christ was seamless. All his life, every thought, every deed, everything was perfect. And to be like Jesus Christ, to imitate Jesus Christ, I'd have to become perfect, which no man can do that without the Savior Jesus Christ. He's the only one that ever lived a perfect life. So, elimination didn't work. And I tried that religion. It did not work because of imitation. James says 3:11. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet and bitter water? And the answer is no. But you see, that's people's lives is trying to eliminate and trying to be like Jesus Christ and trying to imitate and be like Jesus Christ. And then also says James, it says 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, not just some way, but all the way, because he's double-minded. You can't be in both ways. Well, I know I should be like Jesus Christ. You should be like Jesus Christ. Well, I'll try determination. I just grit my teeth and bear it, and I'm going to do it. I'm tired of doing this other way. I'm tired of sinning. I'm tired of doing that. I'm going to grit my teeth, and I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be more like Jesus Christ. I have this willpower, and I have this positive thinking, and I have this willpower. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to be sincere. And I'm going to be determined, and then you fall on your face. How many says, I know I got to go to church. I know I need to go to church. I know I need to do this and that, and I'm determined, and I rededicate my life, Jesus. And then you fall on your face. It don't work. You ever tried it? Am I talking to you? Now, that's the way most people think they can bring a change in their life. Because we have all tried it. That's the way I really believe I need to do a change in my life by these three things. But I tried and I failed. And I believe that fits everybody as a grown person to know exactly what I'm talking about. How to be changed. How to be changed then? Well, look at Jesus and looking to Jesus Christ as we see this. Again, that verse 3:18, but we all with open face unveiled, behold, in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image of Jesus from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. How are we going to do this? By looking at Jesus Christ. There's three things a mirror must do now. If you're going to reflect Jesus, there's three things that a mirror must do. A mirror must receive the image in front of it. Y'all know that? Just stand in front of a mirror, and a mirror must receive that image. Pleasant Hill, again, are you a mirror everyone in here, are you saved? Are you a mirror? He's talking not to your wife, not to your husband, not to your person on the pew, but are you a mirror? Say, I am, not out loud. Not out loud. A mirror reflects what is exposed to. Did y'all know that? A mirror reflects what it's exposed to. A mirror does not create the image, does it? It just reflects what it's exposed to. We are changed then by being exposed to Jesus Christ. Not by elimination, imitation, determination, but we are changed by being exposed to Jesus Christ. We reflect what we are exposed to in your life. You see, if you expose people that don't have any concern of the things of God, they are exposed to this world. And if they're exposed to this world, their reflection is to live as the world lives. If they're exposed to nothing but pleasure, then they live for this world of pleasure. Whatever your life is exposed to, that's what you will reflect. You will reflect. We are changed. When a sailboat turns those sails towards the wind, it changes their direction. And that wind begins to catch the sail, and they blow the way the wind is going. We are changed by turning our being towards Jesus Christ and changing the direction of the Lord by setting our sails in the reflection of Jesus Christ as a sailboat would sail into His image. You must become what you focus on. You become what you focus on. You see, now if this mirror, if this has a veil over it, you go to the bathroom, most everybody in here goes to the mirror of a morning. Look at that face, do you not? Now if that mirror in that bathroom has a veil over it, you know, you can't set yourself towards it. You can't see. Because it has a veil over it. You remember when Moses went up on the Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments? He stayed with God, and he was so close to God, the very appearance of God. You know what happened to him? You know what? And he come back down, the people could not even look upon his face. He had to have a veil over his face for the glory of God. He had been with God, the very, very God. He reflected that glory. Moses didn't have the glory. He reflected the glory. He had been with Jesus, and he reflected the glory. He had stood before that mirror. He had stood before the Lord there in that reflection of that glory, and the people around him could not even see, so he put a veil over his face. The nation of Israel seen that veil, but you see, they still see that veil today. 2 Corinthians 3:14 says, but their mind was blinded, for until this day, I mean today, remains the same veil, but been taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which this veil done away is Christ. The nation of Israel still has this veil over them. It should have been tucked away. It said, with Jesus Christ. They still have this mirror, and they have not received the image of Jesus Christ because they have a veil over that nation. And a lot of people, if you sat here this morning and you're lost and you're not saved, you have a veil over your face, and you can't see the Savior Jesus Christ today. The devil don't want you to see Jesus Christ. You have a veil over your face. And the people don't understand why that you and I, saved, born again believers, are changed. Why have we been changed? They do not understand why on a Sunday morning, whenever they're tired, been working all week, why on a Sunday morning, and people so give out, they at church and Sunday school. People rise by this church to see these cars here. They have no concern about coming in the doors of this church. Why? They have a veil over their face. They cannot see with this veil. They have no determination because determination will not make it. So they have this veil. They don't understand why on Wednesday night, cold and rainy, and you see people coming to church on Wednesday night to lift up the people to the Lord that needs prayer for. They don't understand it because they have a veil over their face. Our whole country has a veil, I believe, over its face, and they can't see the glory of God. People don't understand why that people tithe. because that veil has been lifted, and they know everything that you have belongs to God, not just the 10%. Oh, you're starting out with a 10% and you're saying, God, I want to give you this tithe because I realize that the other 90 belongs to you also, but I want to give you this 10%, God. All the income, income tax time comes in. You see what you made this year? Did you give God 10%? God knows where you did or not. It all belongs to God. You're not going to carry none of it with you. People don't understand why people give 10, 15, 20, 50%, 90% of their everything. They don't understand this. They have a veil over them. The lost don't understand. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 says, but if this gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil's going to blind you as long as he can. And I'm going to tell you, people that's lost have a blinder. They do not see. They cannot see. Only you and I can help lift that blind from them. Satan wants you to be blinded. He got a veil over you. When you're saved, the veil is taken away, and you see things that you have never seen before. Amen. You have a new vision that you have never seen before. You know why people still in their sins, still lost? They still have this veil. And I'll tell you what, church membership and this watery baptism will not wash that away. It takes the blood of Jesus. There's a lot of people who've tried this. They tried by imitating, following Jesus Christ through baptism, by church membership, and you sitting here today and you are lost as you can be because you have that veil over your face. The mirror must receive the image. If the mirror has a veil over it, can't see it. If that mirror's dirty, you know what'll happen? It'll give a distort and a dull image if that mirror's dirty. Did you know that? You can't see out of it. As I move on here in just a few minutes, the mirror must also retain the image. That mirror must retain the image. As long as you in front of that mirror, it retained. But when you walk away from that mirror, there's no more image there. That mirror must retain the image, and you must be in front of it. We will reflect what we are constantly occupied by. We will reflect what we constantly occupied by. A glimpse at Jesus Christ, you cannot maintain. Once in a while I'll come to church. That's a glimpse of Jesus. That's just one chapter out of your book. You can't contain this by a glimpse. You must focus on Jesus. You must focus on Jesus. We stay in focus in Him, then we'll change. Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. The inner glory, He looked like a man. He was a man. But on the inside, we know the inner glory come to the outside. A change. Transfiguration. We call that metamorphosis. That's what takes when a caterpillar goes through the stage and turns out to be a butterfly. The inside of that cocoon, the inside of it comes out as a butterfly. Transformed, transfigured, more metamorphosis takes place. The inside becomes the outside. You see, an old caterpillar, like you and I, as an old caterpillar, lost in our sins. You know, an old caterpillar likes to crawl around on the dirt, go in dark places and under a rock. But when that transformation takes place, and that cocoon is opened up, a metamorphosis takes place, the beautiful, beautiful sun, or the heat of the sun of that beautiful butterfly begins to take flight. And never again does that butterfly crawl around the ground in the cracks and the crave and the darkness, but it flies to the lofty heaven. See, the sun is shining upon that butterfly, and it lifts up his wings, and it flies to the glory of God. You see what's took place in your life and my life in this metamorphosis. And we reflect Jesus Christ change in our life. You see, you and I still have that old caterpillar nature Amen. But you also have that new nature of the butterfly. And did you know whenever you take your eyes off of Jesus and you quit reflecting Jesus and you get out in front of the mirror, did you know what will happen? That old nature, that old, go down, down, and you become a crawl around on the dark places again. And then when you get back to the light of the glory of the gospel, the light of the mirror, what takes place? That beautiful, beautiful butterfly begins to soar again. The glory of God breaks through. We don't stay focused as we should to reflect Jesus Christ. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you when you were saved will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ whenever you turn to glory. I tried this. How can I be changed? Lord, I want to receive your image. I want to be changed. I want to maintain that image. I want to keep focused on Jesus Christ. Now, do you want to do that? Remember now, you see, the mirror must receive the image. The mirror must retain the image. But you see, if we look at Jesus Christ in the Bible, we see light. And we must have this light. And the light we see in Psalm 119 and 18 says, open thou my eyes, that I may know the wonderful things out of thy law. Psalm 19 and 1 says, the heaven declares the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Now you see this mirror, if it's veiled, if it's dirty, if it's dark, and the devil wants to keep all these sort of things in your life. He wants to keep you with a veil over your face. He wants to keep you dirty. He wants to keep you there in darkness. And 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 says, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness have shined into our hearts to give us light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, what we ought to be. I know what I ought to be. Well, I've tried this, you know. I've tried all these three, elimination and imitation and termination. But you see, when you start turning to the light and turning to the mirror, you see, receive this image, retain this image. But you see, we must reflect the image. Now we must reflect image. When people looks at me and people looks at you, do they see Jesus? Do they see Jesus? The mirror must reflect the image. Are you reflecting Jesus Christ? As we think about this hour, remember in the gospel, Acts chapter 4 and 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they looked, the knowledge of them, they had been with Jesus. You see, they had reflected Jesus Christ. And no matter how much you are trying to eliminate and imitate and determine that you know what, you won't be like Jesus, but you must do what this mirror says for us to do. If people are going to see Jesus Christ in you, it must be by the Word of God, and you must spend time standing in front of the mirror of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Now, here today, if you have that veil over your face, you know what has happened to you this hour, young or old, you know what God's done. Here, by the Spirit of God, God has lifted this veil off of you. And the Spirit of God has taught in your heart, yeah, you might be a church member, that ain't got nothing to do with it. You're lost. But if you are, you got a veil over your face, and you know there's always two spirits sitting on your shoulder. One of them says, you know what? That man has told you the truth. I mean, that preacher's preached the truth, but you see what you need to do? You need to go back out, and you know some things in your life ain't right, and you need to try to eliminate them, and you need to try to imitate what Jesus Christ, and by sheer determination, and then you come back. When you get all those things right, then you come back, and then you can be saved. That's what old Satan will try to tell you, will he not? But then God says, you know what, you need to do what the mirror says. You need to receive it, retain it, and reflect it. Now, if you want to be saved, you can be, but it's strictly up to you. If you think that God's going to overlook one of your sins, I'll ask you this question here this morning. Is there a person in this building who's never sinned? Is there anybody in this building who's never sinned? That means everybody here. Now, if we all saved, that's good. But if there's a person here that's lost, knowing that you've sinned, you don't have anything that God will ever accept for that one sin. Even that pencil you stole whenever you was a child. If that's all you ever done was stole a little pencil, did you know what? That's enough to send you to hell. because it's your distance between the glory of God and your fallen nature. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have that gap between us. You must understand, I don't have but any one way to be saved. That's accept what Jesus Christ has done for me. He paid the price for me on Calvary's cross that I might be saved. Well, we heard this all our life. We believe all this life. And you just believe 2 + 2 = 4. You believe in everything that I've said about Jesus Christ, but you never received it into your heart. If you do not receive it into your heart, and we find out that this in our heart, the glory of God comes into you, and they will be a change. God says, I begin a good work in you. I have predestined you to be the image of my Son, Jesus Christ. It's not you anymore. It's God that's doing it. If there's no change in a person, they are not saved. Because God says, I will change you. If I put Jesus Christ in you, I'll change you. Do y'all believe that? Do y'all believe what the God says? I'll change you. If there's no change in a person, pray God to tell me what good is salvation if there's no change. God says, I begin a good work in you and I perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. We fix to come now with a song of invitation. As they're coming, I'd like for you to bow your head this morning. Father, as we bow our head this day, and there may be a person here today. And Father, we just pray, God, if there's a person here today, has never come to this conclusion that if they die at this very moment, that you, God, be too late. They cannot be forgiven for their sin. But they will go to a place that's called hell. Not for what they have done or the type of life they have lived, but because they may have lived a good moral life because they go into this place called hell, because they've never accepted you as that full payment for their sin. And we all know that we have sinned. Every person in here, well, what if you give God back for that sin? Nothing, because you don't have nothing that he would accept. There's no goodness in you. And even though that you hadn't killed or murdered anybody, you are guilty of rejecting Jesus Christ. And that is the reason that every person that's in hell this day, not for the life they lived, what they did or what they did not do, but every person is in hell today because they have rejected the man of salvation, Jesus Christ. I thank you this Lord today for your glory and for your presence to fill this place today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Brother Orville.